So there's certain sounds that speech recognition is especially good at improving, and other sounds that are more difficult and might be best addressed through kind of a traditional approach. These things are great to work in tandem. Let's not supplant traditional methods, but let's supplement them with the tools that really make everyone's lives easier and allow us to give meaningful feedback to students right away.
You're listening to Speaking of Language, a podcast recorded at the Language Resource Center at Cornell University. Each week, we explore a topic related to language pedagogy and second language acquisition. This week on Speaking of Language,
Dan Nicolai introduces iSproc, a web-based tool for practice and assessment of second language pronunciation.
Welcome to a new episode of Speaking of Language. I'm Angelica Kramer, the director of the Language Resource Center at Cornell University.
And I'm Sam Lupowitz, the LRC's media manager. We have Dr. Dan Nicolai in the studio with us today. He recently gave a talk as part of our monthly LRC speaker series on a platform he developed for second language pronunciation instruction, assessment, and research.
You can watch his talk on our website, and we are excited to continue our conversation today. Welcome to Speaking of Language, Dan.
Thank you so much. I'm thrilled to be here.
So we always start out by asking our guest about their background and path with languages. What does that look like for you?
Yeah, so in my case, I went to a preparatory high school, middle school, and it was a very traditional curriculum. So as a young lad, I was required to study Latin, French, and indeed ancient Greek.
Wow.
So my French comes through kind of an obligation of the curriculum that I was following.
Interesting. That's crazy. What do you do these days?
These days, I'm an associate professor of French at St. Louis University, and I'm the director of the Language Resource Center as well there.
Fantastic. So in your talk, you introduced our colleagues to a platform you developed that I am not trying to pronounce. I'm sure you will do that for
us. Oh, I would love to hear you try.
Oh, God. So to me, it looks like iSproc.
Oh, that's good. I go with it kind of rhymes with lock. Okay. Like a lock on your door. So it's iSproc is how I most often say it myself, but I've heard every possible version of it. Yeah.
Yeah, it just looks like you would need to roll the R, you know? I don't know.
Well, you're welcome to.
No, okay, good. Thank you. So tell us more about this platform and what it allows specifically language teachers to do.
Yeah, so for language teachers, and this is one of those stories, really, that began with a teaching need. And that was amongst the French faculty at St. Louis University. We had kind of this observation that we would make amongst ourselves. Like, you know, it's strange how much pronunciation could be improved through in our students. And we're talking from, you know, French 101 right up through our most advanced courses. And it seemed like this kind of area of study that had been neglected. And this was especially surprising because it's something that students care about a lot.
Sure.
They want to sound as French as possible as German as possible. And so what we decided to offer was a 1-credit-hour corrective phonetics course for French, a French pronunciation course that we opened up for everyone. So regardless of your level, you could take this class to supplement whatever French class you were taking.
Yeah.
And surprise, surprise. what we found out was this class was over-enrolled.
That's crazy.
You know, almost wanted to open a second section. And so with this, you know, large number of students, we're like, oh, right. If we're going to be working on pronunciation, this is an area that you need a lot of individualized feedback.
Yeah.
Right? You really, in an ideal world, would be working one-to-one with a student. So we kind of had this problem emerge out of a good place. We wanted a class like this, and we thought it was a great opportunity for the students. But we're like, how do we begin to provide, you know, meaningful feedback to a group of students this large? And that's when I started scratching my noggin. And this was around 2012, 2013, and at the same time, Google had released some of their multilingual speech recognition tools, and the two ideas were right in front of my face at the same time. I'm like, well, you know, I have an idea, and my plan was to build a proof of concept app that would give students pronunciation feedback in French in real time. And that was how the project was born. And so what how the platform works essentially is an instructor will create a text, a short text or a few lines of a poem or something, put it into the program, and the program will synthesize the text to speech in the target language. At the time, it was only French, and then encourage students to practice speaking. And as they speak, their words are transcribed in front of them, assuming that they're hitting the target words with the correct pronunciation. So in this way, we could provide automated, individualized, you know, custom personalized feedback for each student.
Yeah, that's amazing.
How many languages are available currently?
So currently the platform supports 36 languages. And within each of those languages, most languages have several regional varieties. So, you know, if you're teaching English in Australia, for example, you can have the students select the Australia model. Or if you're teaching French in Canada, you can actually have the synthesized text speak with a Quebecois accent.
So tell us more about the funding you received through the National Endowment for the Humanities for your project. How did that come about, and what does the funding allow you to do?
Yes, I would be remiss if I did not recognize and thank the NEH for the funding. Thanks to their funding, we've been able to really ramp up development and add more languages to the platform. This came about because this ISPROC was always kind of this side project of mine that I never, I mean, to begin with, I never had the time to do it, to create it. But I was like, but I was interested enough that whenever I had 10 minutes here, 10 minutes there, I would spend a little time on it. But I always lamented how little, you know, time I could devote to it because of other responsibilities in my positions. So that was the main driver to apply for funding, was to pay for development time, but also to eliminate any barriers for other institutions and teachers to use it.
Yeah.
So thanks to the funding, anyone is welcome to freely create their own activities, invite their students, and there's no cost at all.
That's awesome. Woohoo!
Yeah, very cool. So as a student, can I practice speaking the target language without my teacher creating activities for me?
Yeah, you can. Another piece of the grant is paying for these kind of turnkey pronunciation modules. So when you go to the website, which is ISPRAAK, that's ISPRAAK.net, there's a section that says Explore. And we have hundreds of turnkey pronunciation modules for you, for students to explore independently.
Tell us more about the research possibilities with ISPRAAK.
I'd be glad to. So again, so part of the grant is, you know, it's kind of has three prongs, right? When I think about the grant, it's about teaching, right? Language teaching, language learning, but also there's a large and somewhat ambitious research agenda, because one of the questions we want to answer is, you know, A, what is the impact of using automatic speech recognition and text-to-speech technologies on pronunciation development? And so that is a big piece of it. And we also want to see, you know, how does this compare to kind of traditional methods of explicit pronunciation instruction, the sort of choral repetition approach, and how does it compare to other different pronunciation tools, websites, and resources? So we have a series of ongoing studies right now where we are exploring these questions, and we had finished a study a couple years ago in the fall of 2020. That answered this question just to some degree. We looked at a second semester Spanish course, and we split the Spanish course into two groups, a control and experimental group. And the control group received explicit in-person instructor-led pronunciation, and the experimental group only interacted with ISPROC. And so we wanted to see over the course of a semester, what was the impact of both approaches, really. And what we found was that ASR, automatic speech recognition, indeed has several advantages. And you can see it does not have a panphonemic effect. So there's certain sounds that speech recognition is especially good at improving, and other sounds that are more difficult to address and might be best addressed through kind of a traditional approach.
Yeah.
So, you know, the big takeaway from that preliminary study was these things are great to work in tandem, right? Let's not supplant traditional methods, but let's supplement them with the tools that really make everyone's lives easier and allow us to give quick, meaningful feedback to students right away.
That's great.
Very cool. Well, what has the feedback been from students who use iSprock?
That's a great question. So again, in the same study, and you can read this study, this was published in the Calico Journal in the fall of 2020. So we surveyed students, of course, to see what was their experience interacting with the tool. So we surveyed the students, and we just wanted to kind of gauge their interest and how they perceive the tool to have helped them. And the largest takeaway, which really is unsurprising if you have ever taught a language class, is that the students appreciated an opportunity to practice their pronunciation outside of a zone of human judgment, right? Yep. So they're making some of these sounds for the first times in their lives.
Sure.
And when they have the feedback from the computer, which again, it's an objective sort of feedback, because you may have a very sympathetic language instructor who does not correct you and who's going to understand you even if you are very imprecise on a certain sound. But so when the students see that, oh my goodness, the, you know, the machine understands me, right? So they have this sense of almost empowerment, but also a space to practice their pronunciation kind of on their own independently, which is a much more comfortable thing for them.
Yeah. So you mentioned that there are different variations of a language that the platform works in. And I, when I started typing a text in German, right, the platform told me, oh, I'm detecting German.
Right.
I'm wondering, does it work for dialects too? So if I, and I mean, dialects are tricky, right, because they might not necessarily be actual written languages. I'm just wondering if I, well, I can also upload a sound sample, right?
Right, right. So you can provide kind of your model audio in three different ways. So you can have the system do a synthesized voice, and that voice, you can select the region of that voice on some languages, not all languages.
Okay.
And the other way you can do this is you could have a pre-recorded audio file that maybe you made in Audacity or some other tool. And the third option is to use the program itself to record your prompt with your own voice right there and then.
And so how will the automatic speech recognition give feedback on dialectal variation? This is fascinating.
So there's a couple things at play. What you notice is when you started to type in your text, it recognized, you had already selected German, and it had recognized that what you were typing corresponded to a German text, right? So that's the comparison that's going on between what you selected and what you typed, not whatever audio file you provided, right?
Sure.
So,
interesting. This is fun.
iSprock, what's the name all about?
Yeah, this is a question I get quite often. So the thing about, you know, when you're starting a new project, and you want a unique enough name that it can be found easily with Google, with a Google search, and without, you know, having to pay for a bunch of, like, keywords. So, you know, if I had called it, like, Speak Now or Easy Speak or something like that, it would be lost in the 100,000 results. So it was a strategic kind of decision to have such a unique name. And Sprach, I will say also, that is the Dutch word for speech. So that was a kind of a slight nod to a couple of my Dutch friends who are just amazing language learners.
Fantastic. Well, thank you. What first got you interested in online tools, automatic speech recognition, and text-to-speech technologies?
I have always had kind of two competing passions, right? One is I'm a huge technology geek. I always have been. ever since I was a small child. And then I'm also obviously a language nerd, right? And so, you know, from a professional perspective now, it's like so much of the lens that I see the world with. It's, you know, I look for the intersection mm-hmm. of instructional technology, foreign mm-hmm. language pedagogy. So it's actually, you know, it's very difficult for me to not instantly look for connections.
Yeah.
And I think this has always been the case in the field of language technology. Whatever the technology was, you know, language teachers were leveraging that.
Yep, mm-hmm. definitely. Yeah. So as someone working in the area of machine learning, we would be remiss not to ask you this very important question. Should our listeners be preparing themselves for the robot uprising?
The robot uprising has already happened. Open your eyes.
Wow. Wake up, sheeple.
Should we be concerned?
I think what you're getting at is, you know, what is the role of AI in language education moving forward? And of course, I think this is a question we should all be considering yeah. as language educators. And in the case of iSprock, one of the things I've been playing with is trying to enhance the feedback that we're giving to students. Mm-hmm. And so one thing that we know about our learners is we know what words they're missing. And from that, we can infer what phonemes or sounds they're missing.
Right.
And then we can use AI, and we have this in our iSprock Labs section. We can use AI to generate original content targeted on sounds that students are mm-hmm. routinely missing.
Yeah.
So I think there's some promise there.
Great. Are you a robot?
I'm not allowed to answer that.
That goes
against my programming.
I was going to say that sounds like what a robot would say, but you're ahead
exactly.
of me.
Okay.
What other projects are you currently working on, and where can our listeners find out more about your work?
I am, like I said, at the Language Resource Center at St. Louis University, and we have a small portfolio of projects. Our website is bilingualbilliken.com. The second word, Billiken, that is the university's mascot. It's B-I-L-L-I-K-E-N. And we kind of showcase some of our projects there. Another project that we work on with some frequency is our podcast project, actually. And this is a resource for independent learners of French and Spanish. We have a bunch of scaffolded lessons around authentic target language podcast episodes that we've selected with our partners.
Mm-hmm.
And it's something that we noticed it was, again, a kind of a, there was a need that was articulated by our faculty and by our students. And it's that they wanted more time developing their listening comprehension skills.
Yeah.
And so this is a resource that does just that.
So among all the things that you do, Associate Professor of French, Director of the Language Resource Center, mastermind behind iSprock, you are also the current president of IELT, the International Association for Language Learning Technology.
That's correct, although I'm filling some rather large shoes from my predecessor.
Well, a
certain Dr. Angelica Kramer.
There we go. But tell us real quick, what's up at IELT?
So IELT is a professional organization that, again, it operates in this very special space. And that space is the intersection of language learning, language teaching, and technology. So our members are directors of language resource centers. They're language teachers, both at the collegiate and secondary levels. And it's really, we're a community of language technology enthusiasts. And we're always happy to talk about the latest tools, the latest applications of technologies and teaching. And it's really an amazing community of practitioners, staff and professors,
mm-hmm.
High school teachers. And, you know, I just feel, again, I keep coming back to this, like, intersection, because I feel like it's a magnet for really amazing people
yeah.
and amazing collaboration. So IELT, you can find out more about us at IELT, that's IALT.org. We're going to be having a conference announcement coming soon. So stay tuned for IELT's next conference, which is going to be in the summer of 2025 in Hawaii.
Woohoo!
Amazing. This has been a treat getting to chat with you about this. But before we sign off, please share a word in a language you speak, love, are learning, want to learn that doesn't exist in English, but you wish it did. Let's hear it.
Yeah, so I've been thinking about this question for months.
I love it. Love the enthusiasm. Yeah. Love the commitment.
Because, you know, it's so hard. When you're a language nerd, there's so many things that come to mind. But then I was reminded of a word just the other day, and the word it's a French word, it's a French verb, and it's yaourté, and what that means is it literally means to yogurt. Now, what they mean by this word is when you are, especially if you are a French person and you're trying to sing along to a song in English for which you don't really know the lyrics, and you kind of mumble your way through it.
Okay,
you're yogurting your way through it.
I love it.
And so that word has come to mind recently.
That's awesome.
Yeah. You know, so someone has given us that one before. I'm trying to remember who it is. That's a great one.
Yeah,
it's such a lovely expression.
Well, thank you so much for speaking of language with us today, Dan.
Thank you for having me.
We are back next week to recap our annual Sweet Poetry event, hear from participants about the importance and intersection of multilingualism, poetry, and baked goods. Until then,
auf Wiederhören.
The Language Resource Center is located on the ground floor of Stimson Hall on Cornell's main campus in Ithaca, New York. Check us out on the web at lrc.cornell.edu.
And follow Cornell LRC on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter.
Speaking of Language is produced by Angelica Kramer and Sam Lupowitz.
Recorded by Sam Lupowitz.
Original music by Sam Lupowitz, Dan Gable, and Joe Gibson.
Thanks also to the College of Arts and Sciences at Cornell University.
As a reminder, the ideas and opinions expressed on this podcast do not reflect those of the College of Arts and Sciences or any other official entity of Cornell University.
We thank our listeners, and do stay tuned for our next episode.